Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 81 for the July 2014 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews that you guys might find interesting. Now, these episodes, as always, have an open submission policy. That means everyone is encouraged to send in clips each month about items that they think other people might like. That includes retailers, publishers, creators, editors, marketing people, listeners, podcasters, guys on the street, whoever. The whole point of these episodes is to take items that you think are really good and promote them and get the word out during the pre-order cycle. Because let's face it, while people like myself order through DCBS and stuff, sure, a lot of people pick stuff up off the racks. For them to do that, the retailers need to order it at this point in the game. So anything you know you really want, if you shop at a local store, let your retailer know now so they can be sure to have a copy for you. And that's whether or not they have an actual pull list service. Bottom line is, for good or ill, comics are a pre-order business, and I think it's best to promote the comics at this point. So that's why we do the preview spotlight. Again, open submission policy. If there's something that you think is just not selling well enough or not enough people are enjoying, please send in a clip. Tell us why it's such a great book, and that's how I get onto a lot of titles that way. There are a lot of books I jumped on too late. Fables, Walking Dead, Elephant Men, Toopy Doops. I mean, that's just to name a couple. There are thousands of items in previews each and every month. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Again, that's why, you know, let's go with the highlights, you know, and help me pick them out, guys. Now, as always, we're going to start at the beginning of previews. We're going to work our way towards the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit those highlights, and those highlights are picked in part by me, but also by you guys, the listeners. So, without further ado, let's listen to some clips.
Hey guys, this is TJ with my first selection this month. It's in the Dark Horse section on page 53, Bad Blood trade paperback by Jonathan Mayberry and Tyler Crook. I'm a pretty big Jonathan Mayberry fan. He writes actual prose novels, horror, fantasy prose novels, and Tyler Crook I kind of came across as in the pages of BPRD and the Magnolia verse, and so pretty big fan of both these guys, and this sounds like a pretty big, pretty good horror trade paperback. I think it was a 5-issue series. This collects the whole thing for $17.99. It says, life was hard enough for Trick Croft as a college student and a cancer patient. Then the vampires attacked and slaughtered his best friend. Now Trick knows that his blood is poison to the bloodsuckers, and he'll stop at nothing to eradicate them. So, you know, I'm a big fan of the creators, and so I'm looking to give this a shot from Dark Horse on page 53.
Hello, this is Derek from the podcast and blog The Comics Alternative, and my first pick of the month is in the Dark Horse section. You'll find this on page 59, and it is The New York Four, written by Brian Wood with art by Ryan Kelly. Now, if this title sounds familiar, it's probably for a couple of reasons. Back in 2011, the team of Wood and Kelly came out with a Vertigo miniseries called New York 5, but before that, in 2008, they produced The New York 4. This was an original graphic novel that came out under DC's Minx imprint, which I think was geared toward a younger adolescent female readership. So The New York 4, this is basically a reprint or a republishing of what they had come out with back in 2008. Now, it's interesting in that Minx was associated with DC. We no longer have that imprint anymore. But now this is coming out through Dark Horse. I'm not exactly sure of all of the machinations that went into the reissuing of the New York 4, but it probably has something to do with the fact that Brian Wood has been doing a number of things with Dark Horse, including The Massive and, of course, the Star Wars comics. This is a great story. The art by Ryan Kelly, I think, is fabulous. These guys make a really good team. This is something that, even though I think with the Minx origins, was originally appealing to a young female readership, is something that I think transcends gender and even age to a certain degree. This is something that I think you will enjoy. So if you didn't see it or read it the first time when it was released as one of the Minx books, then pick up the Dark Horse version of The New York Four by Brian Wood and Ryan Kelly. And you'll find the solicit on page 59 of the catalog.
Hey guys, TJ here with my next selection. It's in the Dark Horse section on page 73. It's the Veil hardcover with writing by Greg Rucka and art by Tony Fazula. You know, I'm a pretty huge fan of Greg Rucka's work. I love his Punisher work, and I love a lot of his independent stuff. You know, I always look to give his stuff a try, and this looks kind of right up my alley. I especially like the art style, and the coloring looks pretty good for me, too. And so here's the description. Passions run high when a beautiful woman wanders out of an abandoned subway tunnel. With no memory of who she is or how she got there, Vale must figure out who to trust and what she is, an object of desire or a force to be reckoned with as her past is revealed. You know, I'm a pretty big fan of the Dark Horse hardcovers. They have some really good production quality on their hardcovers and collected editions in general. So, you know, it's not a high-level risk. It's $19.99. You usually get it for 40 to 50% off. So if you're a Greg Rucka fan or a Tony Fazula fan, check out page 73 of the Dark Horse section for Veil.
This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick of the month is also in the Dark Horse section. You'll find this solicit on page 74 of the catalog. Popular Sculpture, the Skull Motif in Pulps, Paperbacks, and Comics. This is a collection from a variety of different artists, but it is edited by Monty Beauchamp. If the name Monty Beauchamp means anything to you, then you're probably familiar with collections very much like this. Beauchamp is wonderful when it comes to pulling together various images, comics, and paraphernalia from popular culture and bringing it together in collections of this sort. Now, the solicit reads thus. Our culture embraces the skull. Apparel and products with skulls abound. Popular Sculpture features the oddest, creepiest, and weirdest skull covers from 1930s to the mid-1950s of comics, pulps, and paperbacks. Edited and designed by Monty Beauchamp, with an introduction by Steve Heller, beautifully presented in the kitchen sink tradition. So these are the kind of things that you'll find in Beauchamp collections. Another reason why this is notable, especially with the editor Beauchamp, is if you're familiar with the old Blab collections, and in fact, Fantagraphics used to put many of those out, Beauchamp was also behind that project as well. Blab is just wonderful. If you can find these old issues, the old collections, do get them, because they're kind of a mix between, let's say, comics art, fine art. Sometimes the books even seem to veer toward the coffee table type, which I'm assuming that Popular Sculpture will be as well. Another notable thing about Popular Sculpture is that this is another joint publishing venture between Dark Horse Comics and Dennis Kitchen's Kitchen Sink. So I'm going to get this, or at least think about getting it, and you should too. Popular Sculpture, the Skull Motif in Pulps, Paperbacks, and Comics. You'll find this on page 74 of the catalog.
Hey guys, this is Drew with a pick from Vertigo on page 112 of the previews catalog. It's The Names, number one, written by Peter Milligan, with art by Leandro Fernandez. This is a thriller, an 8-issue miniseries, dark contemporary thriller, it says. It involves some intrigue causing a man who seems to have it all to kill himself, throw himself from a skyscraper, and his wife takes on the investigation of finding out exactly what killed her husband and why, and the reasons behind. This is something I'm going to sample, the first one, to see if it's my speed. I'm not going to pre-order multiple copies. I just want to check this out and see if it's something I might like. It is only an 8-issue miniseries, so you don't have to stick around too long, but I think it looks like a pretty good, pretty interesting premise, so I'm going to check this out, and I think you should too. It's The Names, number one, by Peter Milligan, and it's on page 112 of the previews catalog.
Hey guys, TJ here again with my next selection. It's in the Vertigo section on page 121. It's The Wake hardcover, written by Scott Snyder with art by Sean Murphy. Both these creators are probably in my top 10 in terms of creators. I love the way Scott Snyder, his Batman run's been great, as well as his American Vampire is probably my favorite Vertigo book. And obviously Sean Murphy doesn't need any praise from me. I mean, his stuff is just outstanding. I love the way his art just really brings, you know, the action scenes together, and I'm just a huge fan of the way he creates storytelling. So if you're interested in The Wake, this collects, I think, the all 10 issues in a $25 hardcover, so that's a good chunk of story, 256 pages. And these Vertigo hardcovers are usually pretty solidly put together. So if you're interested in The Wake from Scott Snyder and Sean Murphy, check out page 121 of the Vertigo section.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam, and this pick is for G.I. Joe number one from IDW. This will be actually the third volume of kind of the IDW version of G.I. Joe. For those of you who read the last one, you know how it kind of ended off, and G.I. Joe's not exactly in the best spot. As the solicit reads, Cobra has become an international peacekeeping force, and the future of G.I. Joe looks bleak. Scarlet leads what's left of America's ultimate fighting force, but will she be able to keep a team together? Real-world action and politics collide, and nothing will ever be the same. Again, I think this will be a great jumping-on point for the series. For those of you who haven't read it, for those of you that have been reading the IDW stuff, this is just, you know, kind of the next set of what's going on. I'm really looking forward to it. It should be real interesting. I've always been a big G.I. Joe fan, and I've really enjoyed overall what IDW has done with G.I. Joe. So this is the next step. And again, that is G.I. Joe number one from IDW. It can be found on page 138 of previews.
This is Derek from the podcast and blog The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is in the IDW section. You'll find the solicit on page 146, and it is Will Eisner's Spirit, Volume 2. This is another of IDW's artist editions. In fact, they're soliciting two artist editions in this issue. On page 147, right next to it, you'll find the Silver Surfer. But I want to focus on a, for me at least, a much more enjoyable strip, and that's The Spirit. Now, we had last year the publication of the first volume in this artist edition series, Will Eisner's The Spirit. These are extremely pricey, and in fact, you know in the solicit when they don't list a price, it's just please inquire. That is probably going to be out of most people's pay scale, but I only own one of these artist editions, and that is the Will Eisner Spirit Volume 1 that came out last year. And that was originally solicited, I think, about 2.5, maybe 3 years ago, so it took a while for that to come out. It's a beautiful edition. If you've ever seen any of IDW's artist editions, it's something that it's just a wonderful piece of comics art. Also history, because what they do is they do high quality scans of the original art, and so you'll find many of the blue lines and notes and whatnot, the pencil marks, in the scans themselves. And so, wonderful behold, oversized edition. In fact, last year when I got mine, I put up on the Comics Alternative blog pictures of this artist edition next to my big English sheepdog, and it almost dwarfed my dog Chester. It's that big. I'd like to get this again. It's a little too expensive. I do not know, but I can dream, can't I? And salivate over Will Eisner's Spirit Volume 2, Artist's Edition. And you can find this on page 146 in the IDW section.
The price for the Will Eisner Spirit Artist Edition Hardcover Volume 2 at DCBS is $123.50. This is an item that is sold to retailers at a net cost, and then they can mark it up, you know, as they kind of have to for this sort of an item. It is indeed, you know, at $123+, a high ticket item like Derek is suggesting. This is one that I'm on the fence on, just because any one item at this cost really, I mean, it obviously kicks my total up by over $100 and stuff.
This is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative. I'm still in the IDW section, and my next recommendation is on page 169 of the catalog. It's another wonderful contribution from Craig Yeo. This is The Worst of Eerie Publications. The grossest, bloodiest, most over-the-top, in extreme bad taste, inappropriate, beyond-the-pale, corrupting comics that ever got by censors. Eerie Publications hired artists like Dick Ayers to redraw already disgusting pre-code comics and make them even more demented. This first-of-its-kind collection assembles the grossest gore-fest comics that would have given Dr. Frederick Wortham a bloody heart attack. Includes the grisliest covers. You'll cringe with delight over the fun of the very best of the world's worst, i.e. most horrifically disgusting comics ever. And with a solicit like that and a cover, as you'll find on page 169, you know that this has to be the brainchild of incredible artist, archivist, comics historian, and editor Craig Yeo. This is part of the Yeo Books imprint of IDW, and we've had Craig Yeo on our Comics Alternative podcast to interview him a couple of times. He's always good for an interview, fun, entertaining, and informative. His Weird Love series came out just last month, and it's in the same tradition where he looks at and collects these older, mostly pre-code comics. And with the Eerie's, the Worst of Eerie Publications collection, this will be the pre-code stuff. So if you like gore, if you like, to a certain degree, kitsch, but if you just like comics history and great comics art pulled together with a sense of humor, then you gotta check out Yeo's latest collection, The Worst of Eerie Publications. The solicit's on page 169 of the previews catalog.
Hey everyone, this is Brandon, and my pick is Rosh Limit from Image Comics, $3.50. Rosh Limit is written by Michael Morici. He did Hoax Hunters for Image, and is drawn by Vic Ultra, and he's worked on X-Files from IDW. Now, what I've read about Rosh Limit is it's kind of like a mashup between Blade Runner and 2001 A Space Odyssey. And when I describe it from looking at some of the sample pages, that kind of makes sense. Blade Runner is gritty, sci-fi, future, and you see that in the pages. It's very gritty looking. And while 2001 is that big unknown, and you see this in as well in the samples and description of this unknown energy source. So this is very hard sci-fi mixed with some crime noir, because the main character, who is a female lead, looking to solve a crime. So I'm excited about this one coming up. So this issue is Rosh Limit from Image Comics. Hey everyone, this is Brandon, and one of my picks this month is Copperhead by Image Comics. It's going for $3.50. This is the first issue. It is written by Jay Faerber. He's done some work at Marvel, DC, Image. The art is by Scott Galutsky and Ron Wiley. First impressions of looking at the four sample pages is it's a mashup of the Old West and, well, Star Wars. But it has a lot more about the American Old West. But it looks like it's on Tatooine. Now, the story goes, a new sheriff comes to a town on the edge of the galaxy. And this new sheriff is a single mom, so this book does have a strong female lead. And she is there to investigate a crime. Now, I am in for the first arc, so I'm really excited for this book coming up, Copperhead by Image Comics.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative podcast and blog. My next pick of the month is in the Image section, and you'll find the solicit on pages 182 and 183 of the catalog. It is God Hates Astronauts, number 1, by Ryan Brown. Last year, Brown did a Kickstarter campaign where he took his webcomic God Hates Astronauts, collected and put it into this nice hardbound edition. It was a successful Kickstarter, and then later on, Image Comics republished God Hates Astronauts. I happen to have a self-published edition of the book. If you know about God Hates Astronauts, then you may have the Image release that came out not too long ago. But now apparently Brown and Image decided to get together to make this into what I assume is an ongoing series, because this is a number one issue. The solicit is thus, if you're not familiar with God Hates Astronauts. A NASA-funded group of arrogant superpeople must stop a rash of farmers that have been using rocket-powered silos to launch themselves into outer space. As these astro-farmers fire themselves all over the galaxy, NASA must utilize their every resource. A guy with a ghost cow head, a bunch of magic bears, and a Chicago cop with robot arms to avoid an intergalactic incident. If it sounds weird, if it sounds strange, well, it is. And if you see the sample art on page 183, you'll see not only that the story visually is very weird, but it's also very engaging. Brown's art is really incredible. So if you don't know about God Hates Astronauts, or if you know about the original webcomic and then collection God Hates Astronauts, you have to gravitate toward this new series. God Hates Astronauts, number one, by Ryan Brown. You'll find the solicit on pages 182 and 183 of the catalog.
Hey guys, TJ here again with my next selection. It's in the Image section on page 189, and it's the White Death hardcover, a new printing with story by Robbie Morrison and Charlie Adlard on art. I mean, what really drew me to this is the Charlie Adlard art. I'm a pretty big fan of his. So here's the description. It's in 1916, Pietro Acquasanta, an Italian rifleman, returns to his childhood home of the Trentino mountain range to find that it's no longer the realm of wonder and adventure he remembers, but has become a place of death and despair where the elements are as great a threat as the enemy. No weapon of war was more feared than the White Death, thundering avalanches deliberately caused by cannon fire which consumed everything in their path. So I'm a pretty big World War I fan. I read a lot of history on that period of European history, and I'm just a big fan of that time period and big Charlie Adlard fan, and so this looks like something they're putting out a new printing for, and it's 104 pages black and white and $15. So it looks like a pretty good thing to try, and if you're interested, give it a check on Image page 189, White Death hardcover. Hey guys, TJ back with my next selection in the Image section. It's on page 191. It's the Blue Estate, the graphic novel hardcover, story by Victor Kalachev, Costa Yanev, and Andrew Osborne, and then art by a number of artists, including Nathan Fox, Paul Mayberry, Andy Kuhn, and a bunch of others. And this is actually a collection of the 12 issues of Blue Estate, all in one, hardcover, $30 for 288 pages. And it says, catch the Eisner-nominated saga of a desperate starlet and a hapless private Dick as they tangle with dueling crime families, a homicidal action hero, and each other on the mean streets of L.A. in one deluxe bonus-packed edition. So, this I kind of like the criminal noir stuff, and this looks like that might be what this is. I actually don't know much about it beyond that, so I'm looking to try something new. So if you're interested in trying some crime noir and something that's called A Dark Funny Slice of Pulp Fiction by USA Today, give it a shot on page 191 of the Image section. Hey guys, TJ here with my next selection. It's on page 194 of the Image section. It's the Mercenary Seas, Volume 1 Trade Paperback, story by Kel Simons, art by Matthew Reynolds. So this is kind of how it's described. 1938, the South Seas, Japan has invaded China, war in Europe is imminent. Ex-bootlegger Jack Harper captains the Venture, a refitted German U-boat with a crew of expats, mercenaries, and fortune hunters. Jack and his crew take a job offer by a shady operative, rescue a British agent carrying valuable intelligence about the Japanese war effort. Meanwhile, Jack dreams of landing the greatest score ever, finding the legendary lost island of Kojira. So this is just kind of an adventure comic, and I'm not sure if you've seen previews, you can find them online, but the art style is really interesting. It's kind of this really almost like animation cartoon style that I really like. And it's just a great adventure comic, and it's the first six issues for $9.99, just like Image usually does for their volume one, so you're getting a great deal. So if you're interested in some great storytelling, check out The Mercenary Sea, volume one, on page 194 of Image.
This is the Brawlinator with a pick from page 194 in the Image section of previews this month, and that is The Mercenary Sea Trade Paperback, Volume 1, written by Kel Simons with art by Matthew Reynolds. This series is set in 1938 on a retrofitted German U-boat in the South Seas just after Japan has invaded China. An ex-bootlegger named Jack Harper captains the Venture submarine with a crew of pirates, mercenaries, and fortune hunters. This is a well-done, old-school adventure comic book. And I've heard it said that if we can't have an ongoing Indiana Jones comic, at least there's The Mercenary Sea. The book's stylized and unique visuals will scratch anyone's pulp adventure itch. Even if sometimes the pacing could stand a little fine-tuning, it's really the art in this series that's the draw, and it is simply stunning, sometimes overshadowing the story because you can get lost in how well it's done and dwell on any of the panels for an extended period of time. This trade collects The Mercenary Sea issues 1 through 6, and it is a worthwhile buy. Plus, it's only $4.99 through DCB service, which is less than the price of two issues of the ongoing series. So add this to your collection. That's The Mercenary Sea trade paperback from Image, collecting issues 1 through 6, found on page 194 of the previews catalog.
Hello, David Hare from the Helix Reviews podcast, and I have Edge of Spider-Verse, issue number 1 through issue number 3, and that's of 5, but that is all that's coming out in this select month. And Spider-Man is my favorite character of all time. I love Spider-Man. He's fun, he's funny, and you can like put him in any situation and it just works because he's that great of a character. And here we're having this huge event called Spider-Verse, where supposedly every Spider-Man ever is going to be there. And now we got Edge of Spider-Verse, which is a series that I believe is like a prequel kind of leading into the actual Spider-Verse series. And it sounds pretty interesting. There's going to be, you know, some of the alternate universe Spider-Mans here. You got Spider-Man Noir. You got a Gwen Stacy Spider-Man, which is very, very interesting. Dr. Aaron Alkman Spider-Man. Honestly, don't know who he is. But interested to find out. That's in Edge of Spider-Verse number 3. Basically, if you're a Spider-Man fan and you're looking forward to Spider-Verse and you're excited, I'm right there with you. And I recommend checking out these. Just kind of take the whole deal, you know. You got Spider-Man, and you got his big event that's happening. And since I like Spider-Man so much, I'm going to be reading everything that has to do with this event. Probably. I mean, sometimes with big events, they do some tons and tons of stuff. And I have a budget, basically. So I can't do everything. But I am excited to check out Edge of Spider-Verse, issues number 1 through 3, and then 4 and 5. Hello, this is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews podcast with Avengers Undercover number 10, written by Dennis Hopeless. And it's Zemo versus the world in the series finale. This is the last issue of Avengers Undercover, and I am so disappointed because I am loving this series. I loved Avengers Arena, the series that came before this, and this is following these characters. It's a natural extension of the characters, and it seems like, you know, he's taking some risks with these characters and stuff, and some people don't like that. I get it, but I am really, really liking this series. I really liked the last series, and I am so disappointed that it's going to end so soon. I hope Dennis Hopeless gets the opportunity to do a follow-up series with these characters, kind of like this is a follow-up series to Avengers Arena. Though, since this is already a follow-up series, I don't know that he will. I assume he'll get another project, you know, to work on, and I'll read that because so far I've liked everything that I've read by him. The description reads, "The Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D. attack as Baron Zemo's true plan is revealed. Which murder world survivor becomes a master of evil? Be there as the character journeys that began in Avengers Academy and Avengers Arena end here." So, I'm excited to see how it ends. I'm disappointed that it's ending in the first place, but I definitely recommend checking out the Avengers Undercover series, and right now, Avengers Undercover number 10. Hello, this is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews podcast, and I have Silver Surfer number 7, written by Dan Slott with art and colors by Michael Allred. The solicit reads, "The Silver Surfer and Dawn travel further into the Marvel U than has ever been gone before, only to find an empty starless void. And one other thing, a lone lighthouse floating in infinity. What is its secret? What else is out there in the darkness?" Also in this issue, surprise characters from long ago are officially brought into Marvel continuity. You won't believe it till you see it. I have been loving this Silver Surfer series. Silver Surfer is one of my favorite characters, one of my favorite superheroes of all time. I love the Silver Surfer, and this series, it's different a little bit than what is normally in his series. I mean, that's when I think of Silver Surfer, sometimes, a lot of times, I guess, I think of a little bit more thoughtful, a little bit more introspective. This one is a little bit more lighthearted, a little bit funner, and it kind of has a Doctor Who kind of vibe to it. Him and his companions going and exploring these weird, cool, different things. And I'm very much enjoying this series. A definite thumbs up. Definitely check out Silver Surfer number 7.
Hey guys, this is Drew with a pick from Marvel. It's Moon Knight Epic Collection, Bad Mood Rising Trade Paperback. This is volume 1 in the Moon Knight Epic Collections. This collects his first appearances in Werewolf by Night 32 and 33, the 71 Marvel Spotlight issues, and early Defenders, Peter Parker appearances. All of these, more and more, all of these early appearances by Moon Knight that it took me years to find in LCSs and Comic-Cons and, you know, combing through boxes trying to find these early appearances. And you can have them all in one little collection. There's a lot of Bill Sienkiewicz in here, a lot of Doug Munch. There's a ton of pencilers and writers because it's, you know, crossing over so many different titles. But what a great collection. This is going to look awesome on my shelf. It is $40, $39.99, over 500 pages. But I'm sure through an Amazon or DCBS it'll be deeply discounted. And you should be able to get that or closer to 20, I'm hoping. What a great collection for Moon Knight fans like myself. Books that it's collecting are tough to find, you know, not plentiful. So, you know, this is a really great collection that I recommend wholeheartedly. It's Moon Knight's Bad Moon Rising, part of the Epic Collection from Marvel, in the Marvel preview section.
As should be obvious by now, since I haven't done a single clip from Dark Horse, DC, IDW, Image, or Marvel, all of my picks are from the back half of previews this month. I figured I'd try to do something a little different. The other thing I'm doing a little different this time is I'm recording them about a week early, and I've got previews in front of me, but what I don't have is the DCBS order form, so I don't know how much of an additional discount some of these items are going to get. Because they're in the back half of previews, it's a little bit more of a variance and stuff, just based on how much of a discount the publishers offer to retailers and such. But there's plenty of great things in the back half of previews this month, so I kind of, I don't want to say felt obligated, but I really wanted to shine a spotlight on those, really more so than almost anything from the premier publishers this month. So with that, let's dive into the back half of previews. Next up on page 230 from Azurn Publishing is number one, number one. Little bit of a redundant title, but kind of makes sense. This is a one-shot by Gary Scott Beatty with art and cover by Aaron Warner
and it is about being a comic book shop owner and kind of the trials and tribulations of that. Now, it explores the 50-year history of comics and comic book retailing and such. It does this all in 32 pages, so I'll be honest, I'm a little curious how they're going to fit 50 years into 32 pages or whatever without it seeming like it's just breezing by. This actually seems like something that could sustain a lot more than a one-shot, and maybe if this does well, it will. I don't know. But as a process junkie, as somebody obviously interested in some of the behind-the-scenes of the comic book industry and such, a comic book about comic book retailing just, I think, is very interesting. There's also a full-page ad for number one, on page 229 that's worth checking out. It gives a sample of the art and stuff like that. Definitely looks like fun. So that is number one, on page 230 from Azurin Publishing. Check it out. Next up, also on page 230 from Abrams Comic Arts, is the Warren Commission Report. This is centering on the days after the murder of President Kennedy and how the commission was formed to investigate, you know, the assassination, and how some of the early decisions kind of influenced their findings. I'm curious about this, both in terms of that aspect of American history, and also in how that can be kind of conveyed in comic book format. So it's got a softcover and a hardcover version. I'm only going to go for the softcover because, well, I'm cheap. Even that, which is 160 pages, is $17.95. The hardcover is $29.95. I like how they're offering both at the same time, so you've got the choice up front. It's 160 pages, and really the price per page kind of thing works out fine compared to most comics these days. Like I said, I'm looking forward to it. Should be interesting. Once again, that's the Warren Commission Report on page 230.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick of the month is in the Slave Labor Graphics section. You'll find the solicit on page 234 of the catalog, and it is Punk Rock and Trailer Parks. This is a graphic novel from Durf Backdurf. Back in 2012, Backdurf came out with an incredible book that got a lot of press called My Friend Dahmer. It's about his experiences going to high school with Jeffrey Dahmer and how he knew Dahmer before Dahmer started killing, because he didn't start killing until he left school and he graduated. And so that was a memoir that deals with this notorious figure. But in a way that it's about Backdurf just as much as it is about Jeffrey Dahmer. But in 2008, Durf Backdurf, say that name several times quickly, came out with Punk Rock and Trailer Parks. Now, I guess because of the success and the attention that My Friend Dahmer has gotten over the past couple of years, Slave Labor Graphics has decided to re-solicit this. The solicit is Durf, the creator of Trashed, an award-winning cartoonist of his syndicated strip, The City, brings stories of us growing up in a small town, the day-to-day weirdness of the trailer parks tucked away therein, the power of music, specifically the punk rock of the late 1970s, which redefined, transported, and ultimately perhaps disappointed a generation. Now, I'm not familiar with punk rock and trailer parks, but after being bowled over by my friend Dahmer, I gotta check this out. And I think you should too, because he is a great cartoonist, a great writer, and while you're at it, do check out My Friend Dahmer. That was published by Abrams Comics Art. But for now, if you're in the Slave Labor Graphics section, check out page 234, Punk Rock and Trailer Parks by Durf Backdurf.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, and I'm a fan of this podcast. And this month, July previews, I'd like to turn your attention to a comic book called Fearless Dawn, Eye of the Beholder number 1. It's a one-shot from Asylum Press on page 247 of your July previews catalog. The artist and writer of this comic is Steve Mannion. Steve also happens to be the cover artist and letterer The lettering in these Fiddler Stone comics are fantastic, as Steve is a trained letterer. And the story is a lot of fun. It's about a girl named Fearless Dawn, of course, and her struggle against the evil Nazi officer Helga von Kraus. The comic is full of action and a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor, a lot like Mad Magazine. But the comic's really all about Steve's art and his love for comic book medium. Art is a cross between Dave Stevens' Rocketeer art style, with a lot of tribute to Wally Wood and that style of art. And of course, Steve Manion has his own wacky sense of art style. Right now, there's a Fearless Dawn comic book that was just released in July called Fearless Dawn Hard Times. So you can check that out on the comic book rack right now before you pre-order this comic. And this comic was already part of a very successful Kickstarter for Steve, but is now being solicited as a new release for a very reasonable $3.99 cover price. Of course, it's a discount at DCBS. Now, this will be released on September 24th, and I will really be looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, John.
Hey guys, TJ here again with my next selection. It's in the Avatar Press section on page 253. It's Rover Red Charlie trade paperback, writing by Garth Ennis and art by Michael DePascal, I guess. The creator of Preacher and Cross delivers a story like no other. An unlikely band of canines set out to survive in a world gone horribly mad. When a worldwide plague wipes out humanity, what happens to man's best friend? Charlie was a helper dog, and he was good at it. Now he and his friends Rover and Red must escape the bloody city and find their way in this strange, masterless new world. Ennis supplies his incredible talent for shocking original tales and spot-on dialogue in this fully painted story that will change the way you look at pets and takes you on a spiritual journey of rediscovery through the eyes of these canine best friends. It collects the whole series 1 through 6, so I'm a pretty big Garth Ennis fan, and it's even got a little blurb here on the page by Alan Moore praising it. So, those two things, along with I like stories that are kind of a complete story, and this is the whole story. So if you're interested in that, Rover Red Charlie from Avatar Press on page 253.
Next up on page 264 from Bliss on Tap is Future Proof number 1. This is a ongoing bi-monthly series. It's going to follow two outcast time agents who are going to be traveling back in time, which kind of are going to, their actions are going to allow certain historic events to happen. And this time it starts off with the Kennedy assassination, which is just kind of an ironic timing with that previous pick of mine, the Warren Commission report, back on page 230. I'm a big fan of time travel. I think it's an interesting concept. This seems like a fun story around it. I'm curious how outcast these time agents are, what their mission is or isn't, what's going on there. This is something I'm definitely going to sample, see if I like. It is a 28-page full-color comic. It's for $3.99. And once again, that's Future Proof number 1 from Bliss on Tap on page 264.
This is Brawlinator with another pick from this month's previews catalog. This is on page 264 in the comics and graphic novel section of previews. And this is a new series from Bliss on Tap Publishing, a company I hadn't heard of before, but the premise of this book is what grabbed me. Apparently, after time travel has been discovered, the first people to go back in time are on a one-way mission to change history for the better, by saving JFK, killing baby Hitler, and much more. This leads to all kinds of unforeseen chaos and paradoxes. They're basically on a one-way mission to fix the parts of the past that have been altered. The first issue jumps right into the action as the two agents set up shop on the infamous grassy knoll in Dallas, waiting for Kennedy to drive by on that fateful day. Future Proof is an ongoing bi-monthly series which follows these two outcasts as they're recruited on, again, a one-way journey back through time where ultimately their actions allow for the most monumental events in history to take place. Any wrong move will change the future as we know it. This is going to be a series that tries to do the conspiracy theory genre some much-needed justice. Having had the opportunity to read the first issue, I can say without a doubt that if you are a fan of the X-Files or any of the conspiracy theories in our society, then this may be a comic to snatch up. And don't take my word for it. You can surf over to blissontap.com, that's BLISSONTAP.com, and grab a free black and white version of this book via digital download. Then if you like it and would like it in color, add it to your order. That's Future Proof number 1, found on page 264 in the Comics and Graphic Novels section of Previews this month.
Next up on page 271 from Boom Studios is George Perez's Sirens, number 1 of 6. This is the start of a 6-part miniseries by George Perez. If that's not enough to get you on board, it should be. I have been a huge fan of his work since pretty much the start of when I got into comics. His work on Justice League, then New Teen Titans, Crisis on Infinite Earths, I mean, everything he's done I've loved. This really, I think, plays to one of his strong suits, drawing women, but really he draws everything amazingly well. This is a collection of characters, the Sirens, that are from different points in time, that have been hiding out in different points in time, having been accused of a crime they didn't commit, essentially, and now the team is getting back together to go save the day. I mean, that's a real high summary of what they've got. On page 269, they've got both headshots of all the characters and a couple of paragraphs really diving into the concept. We've got a couple of different covers on page 270 and 271, and the wraparound covers all kind of connect to do a full-blown group shot of the team. It's George Perez. Again, can't say enough about what a talented guy he is. I've been waiting for him to do stuff over at Boom since he left DC. Frankly, I don't think DC was using him well. This is a superstar creator, certainly as an artist. He's also really proven himself as a writer over the years. He's doing both the story and the art here. It's a $3.99 book. It is well worth checking out. He is one of the masters of the craft. So once again, that's George Perez's Sirens number 1 on page 271 from Boom Studios. Check it out. Next up on page 275 is Cloaks number 1 of 4 from Boom Studios. This is about a skilled street illusionist who essentially winds up getting recruited by a clandestine black ops group. This has the feel of like the movie Now You See Me, which I loved, and they're doing, I think, a sequel to, of basically if you take some street illusionists and do a spy sort of mission, a heist, or whatever, there's a lot of fun possibilities there. This guy has been acting here as a modern-day Robin Hood, stealing from the rich, giving to the poor, which is what gets him, you know, on the sights of the Black Ops group known as the Cloaks, which is, of course, the title of the book here. So I'm looking forward to it. Sounds like a good premise. Sounds like a lot of fun. It is a $3.99 comic, full color, 32 pages, of course, from Boom Studios on page 275. Check it out. Next up on page 280 is Butterfly number 1 of 4. This is also from Boom Studios. 4-issue miniseries. This time it's about a deep cover agent, one of those that's so deep that they just don't exist. There is no paper trail, no birth certificate, social security number, any of that. And she gets basically, I think, framed for a crime she doesn't commit by the group she's working for and has to go prove her innocence. And to do that, she winds up at the doorstep of her father, who she thought died 20 years ago. So it seems like it's got a bit of intrigue, you know, personal drama, as well as just the usual super spy kind of stuff that we get in TV shows. That's a lot of fun. Hopefully it'll translate well to the comic book page format. I think it will. They've got a little bit of the sample art here. Really only 2 pages, and it's really tiny. But the concept sounds good. It's a 4-issue miniseries, so I'll give it a shot, see if I like it. And I recommend you check it out too. Once again, that's Butterfly number 1 on page 280 from Boom Studios.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam, and this pick is from the Dynamite Entertainment section, and that would be Dawn Vampirella, number 1 of 6. This is Dawn's first ever crossover, written and illustrated by Joseph Michael Linzer, Dawn's creator, celebrating the 25th anniversary of Dawn. This should be great. For those of you that aren't familiar with Linzer's work, there are three art preview pages on page 297. Dawn's a kind of a horror host character that's been around, well, I guess for 25 years. I know there's not a ton of work. Mr. Linzer tends to be very slow putting out his work, but again, when you see the illustrations, it becomes fairly obvious. And this seems like an interesting take on these two characters. Solicit reads, our story begins when the silver-tongued demon Masadik tricks and kidnaps both Dawn and Vampirella. He tells them they are the two most beautiful women in all of the world, these two bad girls. Their demon host demands a catfight to see who is best suited to his purposes. But the lady suggests something more feminine, a storytelling contest. Together, they take us to the bloody shores of Dragalon, to post-apocalyptic New York and to worlds beyond imagination. Only Ravana knows what reward and punishment await the winner and the loser in this duel of horror hostesses. Written and drawn by Dawn creator Joseph Michael Linzer. It's not only, again, Dawn's a great character who, you know, to be fair, if you are that interested in the character, all of the existing work is available, I believe, some of it from Image. And like I said, unfortunately, there's not all that much of it. Even in 25 years, there's probably 4 or 5 trades at the most. There were a couple of single issues. There were a couple of kind of OGNs. Not a ton of work, but the artwork is simply stunning on this stuff. And I love the premise of this title. You kind of have a 1001 Arabian Nights, Scheherazade take on the two horror hostesses. Rather than fighting, decide to entertain their captor by telling them stories while I'm assuming they try to figure out a way out of this situation. So again, I'm really looking forward to this. That's Dawn Vampirella, number 1 from Dynamite Entertainment, page 296 and 297 of previews.
Hey, this is Brawlinator again with a pick from page 298 in the Dynamite Entertainment section of previews this month, and this is Alice Cooper number 1, written by the X-Files' scribe Joe Harris, with art by Iman Casalios. This new series takes on the godfather of shock rock himself, Alice Cooper, in his very first ongoing comic series. Alice Cooper, of course, is an icon of rock and roll with a career spanning 5 decades and 26 albums, and anyone familiar with him surely associates him with incorporating elaborate horror movie and vaudeville sensibilities into his stage shows. Cooper, however, is no stranger to comics, first appearing way back in 1979 in an October issue of Marvel Premiere. It was issue number 50, a great, fun story, as well as The Last Temptation, which was a graphic novel back in the 90s written by Neil Gaiman. He's even contributed stories to The Simpsons' Treehouse of Horror comic. Dynamite Solicit says, while he was a legend in the waking world, few knew his role as the Lord of Nightmares. Beyond it, where he watched over us while we dreamed and delivered horrors unto the truly deserving. Only someone took it all away from him, cast him out of his realm, and locked him away until now. And if he's going to reclaim his throne, he's going to need all the help he can get. I wonder if this will contradict or dovetail into Cooper's proclaimed Christian faith at all. A lot of his stories have been morality tales. It's kind of interesting to consider that. The art looks great, and this may be a fun ride as long as they don't take themselves too seriously, which I don't think you can accuse Alice Cooper of that anymore. He's sort of a restaurateur and an avid golfer, and he's actually a pretty fun guy. Again, this is Alice Cooper, number one, from Dynamite Entertainment on page 298 of the previews catalog.
Next up on page 305 is The Bionic Woman, season 4, number 1. This is a new ongoing series following the continuity of the old TV show. Much like they went with The $6 Million Man, season 6, this is a continuation of that, set in that continuity. I'm looking forward to it. Frankly, I think this is the approach they probably should have started with. While I understand why they went with the Kevin Smith aborted movie take, once they started having, you know, bionic ninjas with, you know, it got real crazy real quick, and I hope they kind of pull this back and ground it. So far, the $6 Million Man series has been very faithful to the TV show, and if they can do a series like that for the Bionic Woman, and there's no reason to think they can't, I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. This is a $3.99 book from Dynamite Entertainment. Once again, Bionic Woman Season 4, number 1, on page 305. Check it out.
Aloha from Hawaii. My name is Jason Kim, a longtime fan of this podcast. And this month, my selection comes from the Dynamite Entertainment section. Solar, Man of the Atom, number 6. Written by Frank Barbieri and art by Jonathan Lau. And the solicit reads, Solar versus Outer Space. Erica is trapped far from Earth and every alien wants to kill her. So Erica's really only got one option, fight outer space. It's one weird girl and her energy ghost dad versus everything in the universe. Basically, so far, what I've read, I only got the first two issues, and I'm still waiting for the other issues to come by mail. Basically, the story of Solar so far is basically it's a father and daughter relationship story. The reason why I like this comic is it's a little refreshing to me from what I'm reading. I'm reading mostly stuff from Marvel and some stuff from DC Comics. And what I like about Solar is he's a little different. He's like a mathematic Doctor Strange who uses math equations, you know, to fight his enemies. And some of the art, what I've seen in the first two issues, and the artists in those issues are Joe Bennett, are great. You know, like, take, for example, like in issue number 2, there's a nice splash page of this space alien that looks like a cross between a Nihilus and the Destroyer attacking Erica. That looks really cool. It really does. However, you know, I'm also, I'm already got the other issues already ordered already through DCBS, you know, and I'm looking forward to this issue of Solar number 6. So, thank you, John.
This is Derek, once again, from the Comics Alternative podcast and blog. My next pick of the month is in the Drawn-In Quarterly section on page 323, Bumperhead by Gilbert Hernandez. Love and Rockets cartoonist Gilbert Hernandez returns with Bumperhead, a companion book to Marble Season. Gilbert's new book follows Bobby, a young slacker who narrates his life as it happens, but offers very little reflection on the events that transpire. Bobby lives in the moment exclusively and is incapable of seeing the world outside of his experiences. He comes of age in the 1970s, making a rapid progression through that era's different subcultures. In a short period of time, he segues from a stoner glam rocker to a drunk rocker to a speed freak punk. He drifts in and out of relationships with friends, both male and female. Life zooms past him. Hernandez's approach captures the numbness and raw, undirected anger and passion of a young man who waits for life to happen to him, not noticing all the while that it's happening. Now, according to this solicit, this is Gilbert Hernandez returning to Drawn In Quarterly, and that this book is a companion to Marble Season. Now, Marble Season came out from Drawn In Quarterly last year. It was an original graphic novel, and it was seen largely as semi-autobiographical, it's a work of fiction, but based in many ways on Hernandez's experience growing up in Southern California during the 1960s. Now, the solicit says that this is a companion to Marble Season, which would seem to suggest that this is a follow-up or linked to Marble Marvel season in some way. But from what I've heard, Gilbert Hernandez himself has said that this is not a sequel. This is not directly linked to Marvel season. So I'm very curious to seeing what this is all about. As I've mentioned before a number of times on the preview shows for Comic Book Page, Gilbert Hernandez is a force to be reckoned with. I mean, obviously, he's extremely prolific when it comes to his Love and Rocket stories, but he also does a lot of other work in addition to Love and Rockets. There's his B-movie Fritz-related original graphic novels. Maria M. is the most recent of those. That came out last year. He also has other collections with different publishers. Bumperhead is another one coming out. This is from Drawn in Quarterly. But he has had others come out from both Vertigo and from Dark Horse. In fact, doing quite a number of things with Dark Horse. I don't know where this guy finds the time to sleep. But if we continue getting great comics from Gilbert Hernandez, or Beto, as he is called, then I hope he gets little sleep, because I want to see the kind of things that I expect from him. And this one will be Bumperhead. You can find the solicit on page 323 of the July catalog. This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast. My next pick of the month is in the Fantagraphic section. I can't let a month go by without mentioning something, at least one thing, from the Fantagraphic section of the previews catalog. And on page 326, you'll find a solicit for Bumpf, that's B-U-M-F, Boogered the Kaiser. And this is a book by Joe Sacco. In the vein of underground comics like Zap or Weirdo, author Joe Sacco returns to his underground roots. Though Sacco is world famous for his serious journalistic books like Palestine, Safe Area Grazda, and Footnotes in Gaza, Bumpf promises to echo back to his earlier days as a satirist and underground cartoonist. Now, if you're familiar with Joe Sacco, chances are you're familiar with him and know him, as this solicit suggests, as a comics journalist. Things like Palestine and Footnotes in Gaza, Safe Area Grazda. I mean, these are classics in terms of alternative comics and comics journalism. I mean, he's not the only comics journalist or a journalist who presents his information in comics format, but he's probably one of the most well-known, at least in the United States. Here we find another side of Joe Sacco. I have read several of his non-journalistic comics. This, though, I don't think I'm familiar with some of the things that apparently are in this collection, so I'm looking forward to Bumpf. And in fact, this is Bumpf 1, so I'm assuming that there will be a Bumpf 2. You'll find the solicit on page 326 of the catalog in the Fantagraphic section. And while you're at it, look through the other Fantagraphics offerings, such as Dash Shaw's new book, Doctors. There's a lot of good stuff that Fantagraphics comes out with. You can't go wrong with them.
Hey guys, TJ here with my next selection. It's in the first, second section on page 330, and this is probably the most exciting thing that's coming out this month as far as I'm concerned. And this is the Wrenchies graphic novel by Farrell Dalrymple. It says, "Meet the Wrenchies. They're strong, powerful, and if you cross them, things will quickly go very bad for you. Only one thing scares them, growing up. Anyone who strives to be an adult is in constant fear of the Shadow Men. All the teenagers who come into contact with them turn into twisted, nightmarish monsters whose minds are lost forever." And Mike Mignola calls this amazing. It's pretty much everything I could want in a graphic novel. So I'm a huge Farrell Dalrymple fan. Actually was introduced to him in the Image Prophet series that Brandon Graham was writing. And Farrell Dalrymple does some of the art in there. And then I looked at some of his independent stuff. I was just blown away by the way he creates his pages and his layouts, and just his style is really impresses me. So this is a graphic novel that he's been working on for a long time, I think number of years. 304 pages, soft cover for $20, and with a good DCBS discount. That's a great deal. So I am most excited about this. Probably if I had to pick one thing in this whole catalog this month, this would be it. And that would be The Wrenchies by Farrell Dalrymple on page 330 of the first, second section. Please check this out. It's going to be awesome.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan again, and have to turn your attention to a very unique offering called the Uncanny X-Men 100 Project. It's on page 337 of the previews catalog, and it comes to us from the Hero Initiative. The Hero Initiative is a wonderful nonprofit group that helps comic book creators in need of their help. Since many comic book artists and writers are freelancers and don't really have any health insurance, or at least they don't have adequate enough health insurance, they can sometimes come up short on their medical bills. The Hero Initiative even helped Gene Colan pay his rent before he passed away a few years ago. If this isn't reason enough for you to check out the sweet, sweet art over at the Hero Initiative website, then I think you can see the artists who, I believe, volunteer their time, and then they are given the blank variant covers to an Uncanny Issue number 12. After they are finished the covers, they are all auctioned off on eBay. And the bidding, I think, is still going on right now, as they have released 10 covers per week for 10 weeks. And I'm looking at a nice colored Her Trimpy page right now that sold for $929. I think there's a second Herb Trimpy that will be going up for auction. Now, this book is about 120 pages, I believe. That's what the previous one was, which was for The Walking Dead. That was released last year about this time. And the price is $12.99. Of course, there's a small discount over at DCBS. I think it's 20% off. Of course, it goes to a very good cause. And it will be released on September 24th. This is for the trade paperback. They usually also release a hardcover, although I didn't see it here in the previews catalog. Maybe they're releasing it on their own. Once again, this is the Uncanny X-Men 100 project from the amazing the Hero Initiative. Check it out. Thanks, John.
Guys, TJ with my last pick for this month. It's on page 344 in the Magnetic Press section. I know this is a new press that just recently started up, and this is one of their first new books. I think they've had a few months with other things solicited, but this is one of the first things that caught my eye. And it's the Doom Boy Volume 1 hardcover with writing and art by Tony Sandoval. And it's described as a lonely, metal-obsessed teen sends a heartfelt song to his missing beloved, only to find out that his music has traveled to the beyond and rebroadcast to the entire city. Only his best friend knows that he's really a mysterious rock god, an anonymous legend known as Doom Boy, an evocative, melancholy coming-of-age story. 128 pages, hardcover, 8x11, full color. So that sounds pretty interesting. I like, you know, where comics and music kind of intersect, and so this looks pretty interesting. I've seen some preview pages online, and the art just looks really well done. I don't know a lot about Tony Sandoval, but if you're his fan or this premise sounds interesting, check out Magnetic Press on page 344 for Doom Boy Volume 1 hardcover.
This is Derek once again from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my last pick of the month is in the Oni section. You'll find the solicit on page 347, and it is the next volume of Stumptown, issue number 1. Now, I guess this will be considered the third volume. The case that we have, or the storyline that we have in this one, is the case of the King of Clubs. A few years ago, Greg Rucka and Matthew Southworth came out with their first Stumptown miniseries. And then about a year and a half ago, they released their second volume, their second miniseries of Stumptown. And that case was The Case of the Baby in the Velvet Case. A lot of cases there. Both of these have been collected, and now apparently we have the third volume here. Greg Rucka's fan favorite Private Eye is back in a new ongoing series illustrated by Justin Greenwood. Things never go according to plan for Dex Perios, that's the main character. It doesn't matter whether it's work or play. When a weekend of soccer fun, both playing and watching, turns ugly, it's up to Dex to get to the bottom of the violence before a heated rivalry transforms into an all-out war. Now, given the setup of the previous Stumptown miniseries. This seems a little underwhelming to me, but I have a lot of faith in Greg Rucka. He is an incredible writer, especially when it comes to crime narratives. His superhero stuff is okay as far as I'm concerned, but he excels when it comes to police procedurals, detective and noir, all of that. And he does a great job with the Stumptown series. Another thing that's notable about this next miniseries, The Case of the King of Clubs, is that Rucka is using a different artist. For the first two volumes of Stumptown, he worked with Matthew Southworth. Now he has a different artist, Justin Greenwood, who works on the new Image series, The Fuse. I'm really looking forward to this. I love Greg Rucka's work. He's multifaceted, and the art of Greenwood seems good. So you should check out page 347 of the catalog. This is in the Oni section. And along with me, get your first issue of Stumptown. Thanks, guys. Have a nice month.
Next up on page 375 is Doctor Who, the 12th Doctor, number 1. It's only been a few months since I was recommending Doctor Who the 10th Doctor and Doctor Who the 11th Doctor. I'm a little surprised they're starting up a third Doctor Who series and that it's starring the brand new Doctor before he really has his legs under him over on the TV show. Hopefully the writer is up to speed on what they're doing there and this kind of fits in the continuity. While the solicit is on page 375, back on page 366 and 7, they've got the different covers. They've got a short little interview with Robbie Morrison. Really, I don't know anything about the specifics of the personality of this Doctor. We do still have his companion of Clara. She's on one of the covers. I know with some of the other Doctors, they're giving them new companions for the duration of the miniseries and stuff, which makes sense. New vantage point character to understand, you know, who it is. But since, I mean, the Doctor is new, we don't need a new companion for the 12th Doctor. I am hoping that since they've got three concurrent Doctor Who titles going, one for each of the 10th, 11th, and 12th Doctors now, that at some point we get a fun kind of crossover between them, or they at least consider doing a series of one-shots or miniseries for some of the earlier Doctors. This is all by Titan Comics that really has just kind of exploded onto the scene the last year or so, and I'm very pleased with everything I've read from them. Again, haven't gotten any of the Doctor Who stuff yet for the other Doctors from Titan because it's too new. I do like how the trade dress has in the upper left corner not only a Doctor Who logo, but a photo of which Doctor that is. Again, given they've got concurrent series going, there could be a little confusion there. This is a $3.99 book. It's comic book page pick of the month, so it will get a discount of some sort, but I haven't seen the order form yet, so I don't know. Again, I'm recording these clips earlier than usual. Definitely think it's worth checking out. Really, that's about all there is to say. I'm a huge Doctor Who fan, and they've been doing good stuff in general at Titan Comics. I see no reason to think they wouldn't continue that with Doctor Who. So, once again, Doctor Who, the 12th Doctor on page 375. Check it out. Next up on page 384 is The Death-Defying Doctor Mirage, number 1 from Valiant. This is a 5-issue limited series, and this Doctor can talk to the dead, but not her late husband, which is an interesting twist. This is a very different kind of an approach, I think, to the Doctor Mirage, the second life of Doctor Mirage that we got back from one of the previous runs of Valiant, where he died but kind of continued sticking around so his wife could talk to him. She couldn't really talk to the dead. He just didn't totally die. A little hazy. It's been a while. I read that when it first came out. I haven't read it really since. I should. It's good stuff. I've been liking what Valiant's doing just overall. I think they've got a good track record for how they're bringing the characters back, staying true to the history, but reimagining and reinventing where needed and where warranted without being disrespectful to what they've done. At some point, I think it would be fun for them to take this Valiant universe and potentially do a crossover with the previous incarnations of Valiant universes, of which there have been at least two distinct ones. On page 385, we get 4 pages of story and art here, so that's enough for people to determine if it's for them or not. Once again, this is the death-defying Dr. Mirage 5-issue limited series. We got the first issue here on page 384. Check it out.
I'd also like to add that if you're on Discount Comic Book Service, don't miss out on their fun selections for the Halloween season, including a classic reprint of Marvel Comics No. 1, which is available as part of the Halloween Comic Fest 2014 books. This is sort of a later added addition to the Free Comic Book Day annual event that by now we're all familiar with. These selections on DCB service are not free, but they are only 75 cents, and they have some fun-looking spooky selections like from Grimm's Fairy Tales and some of the Archie titles, including a reprint of Afterlife with Archie No. 1, and a few more, all 75 cents. Now, your local comic shop may be giving these away for free on October 25th, which is a Saturday that this Comic Fest takes place, so ask them before you order these. You can find these, they're a little hard to find, but you can find these selections under DCB Services pre-order section in the order accessories section. And most of the selections are scattered throughout this month's edition of previews. You'll notice they don't have a price attached to them. That's the Halloween Comic Fest 2014 selections.
So the discounts on the items I picked through DCBS are going to be 45% for No. 1, No. 1, Future Proof No. 1, and Doctor Who, the 12th Doctor No. 1, a 40% discount on the Warren Commission report, and a 50% discount on George Perez's Sirens No. 1, Cloaks No. 1, Butterfly No. 1, Bionic Woman Season 4 No. 1, and Death Defying Doctor Mirage No. 1. Again, I didn't have the DCBS order form last week when I recorded all of my clips. My breakdown this time around is really unusual, as is my total is actually a bit lower. My total right now is around $425.73, with a number of things that I may add to the list. What makes it unusual and goes towards my breakdown is, again, all of the new 52 items for DC were solicited 2 months ago. So my breakdown is I've got 5 items from Dark Horse, only 23 from DC, and of course, all the other stuff was solicited 2 months ago on that. 4 from IDW, 18 from Image, 69 from Marvel. That's like 42.5% of my order this time around. And 36 from the back half of previews. A lot of that centering in Boom, Dynamite, Titan Comics, Valiant, and, you know, a few publishers there. But I had about $100 worth of stuff for DC through the new 52 and whatnot when they did the Future's End stuff a few months ago. So that would really kind of put everything back into its usual alignment of how much I get and how it's split. It's a little dangerous at this point because it's tempting to say, well, since it's a little lower, I can afford to get a little more here, there, and the other. And I'm trying to kind of resist that temptation. Again, ton of great things this time around. I decided to pick everything from the back half of previews. Nice coincidence, this happens to be kind of the 4th of July weekend I'm recording this, so you could argue I'm celebrating my independence. But really, it was just a matter of that's where I was finding stuff that looked interesting to me this time around. I want to thank everybody who sent in clips, Brandon, Chris, David, Derek, Drew, Ian, Jason, Sam, and TJ. In the case of, like, Jason, first-time contributor, really appreciate that. Again, these episodes really survive based on clips from you guys. I mean, I'm going to put in about 8 or 9 every month, but if it's just me, these things are going to be, like, 20-minute episodes or something, depending how much I ramble at the end of the episode. But I really appreciate getting these clips because it gives me some input as to what should I be getting that I might not have otherwise. You know, sometimes it just takes somebody who's gotten a little more information than is in previews to really make me think I should get something. And this time around, one of the big ones on that is Sam managed to talk me into trying the G.I. Joe No. 1. That was one that I was thinking maybe I'll pass this time around since they've relaunched the series. I've lost track of how many times G.I. Joe's had a No. 1 over the last 10 years. It's not unique to that title, of course. I mean, Marvel's turned that into an art form. But they're jumping off points. But I'll give that one a shot, see how it looks, see if they can kind of get me back into the fold on that. Hopefully these clips have helped you all find things you're interested in. Again, I was trying to promote a lot of things in the back half of previews. I think there was a lot of things that were very interesting. And those are the ones that frankly are harder to find at stores, and it's more important to pre-order on, because stores are only going to buy what they can sell. And they're only going to think they can sell stuff if people have told them, hey, I'm interested in this. So if there's stuff you found in this previews spotlight, really all of it, including the couple of picks from Marvel and DC, some of those are on the more, you know, outskirts of their line, not the top sellers and such. Let your retailer know you want them. I mean, obviously, if you're going through DCBS, you are pre-ordering, so you're doing that. But let's help out our local comic book shops. They're the ones who are taking a lot of risk to put stuff on the racks, and it's unfair to them to not give them a fighting chance to get the right stuff there. So at this point, when previews comes out, it's worth picking up previews, going through it, listening and contributing to episodes like this, and then feeding back to your retailer what you're interested in. That's what kind of keeps the whole cycle running. And speaking of the whole cycle, this DCBS order form is due on July 23rd. Orders to local comic book shops, I believe they want those in on the 18th of every month. DCBS, because this is all electronic and stuff, it's a lot easier on them. Brick and mortar comic shops, where you just go in and say, hey, I'd like, they've got to scribble that down somewhere. They've got to go get that into their computer. They've got to tally stuff up. It's a bit more work for them. The next previews, I believe, is going to come out on July 30th. So if that is indeed the case, and I think it is, I hope it is, the deadline for the next preview spotlight will be August 9th. And frankly, regardless of when previews comes out, that's when it's going to be. There's a slim chance previews could come out early on the 23rd just because of Comic-Con and such. But even if it does, I'm going to be at Comic-Con, and it's going to take me until the 9th to where I'm ready to do the preview spotlight anyways. So that's when the clips will be due. Please contribute. This time of year, with Comic-Con, with a lot of the other conventions going on, a lot of announcements come out. I know Boom is in a period right now where they're doing an announcement every business day for like 2 weeks straight, or 15 business days straight, or something crazy. You're going to find out about a lot of stuff. There's going to be a lot of stuff that other people are going to miss. I mean, I can't keep up with all the news coming out during the quieter parts of the year, much less at this point of the year. So, again, if you find out about stuff that looks and sounds interesting, send in clips. Let's support these things. Let's help sales, you know, go up and help people find the stuff they want to read. That's really what it's all about. So, once again, I want to thank everybody who's contributed. I hope all of you listeners have found something you'd find of interest here. If so, great. If not, well, really, either way, send in a clip next month and help out. I'd appreciate it. So, thanks. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.